Good morning. I had to think a bit when Art asked me what the name of the series was. I don't believe I ever was told the name of the series, so I kind of just made that up. But it is a series, and it's about people who encountered Jesus. It's a four-week series. The series began last week with Dave Erickson and the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. This morning, there's a woman that comes to Jesus. And next week, there's a woman that comes to Jesus. And Andy follows up on the last week with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, two men, and two ladies. And so that is the series, people that encountered Jesus. Now, three of those four people had excellent results in their encounters with Jesus. But the rich young ruler last week had a tragic result. And so when we encounter with Jesus, it's a very serious matter. We don't have an encounter with Jesus without very serious consequences. It's not like a casual friendship where you can come and go and not be changed or not be influenced. And so these four people came to Jesus, and there's many others. We could do a big series on that. People who encountered Jesus, and the one last week had a tragic result because he didn't accept God's offer of salvation, and God and the person of Jesus let that man walk away. Our dependence, our freedom to make choices is so important to God that he can let us walk away and not have the desired reaction. God loves us, and Jesus loves us so much. But God giving us the freedom to choose, last week he let that man walk away to a lost eternity. And that's what you can do when you encounter Jesus. You have a choice to make, and you can either accept him or reject him and walk away. And Jesus won't stop you. Our passage today is about a woman. It's a different encounter with Jesus than last week, of course, to the opposite, and the next 2 weeks for the people that encounter Jesus. This is a woman called Mary. And her story is in three Gospels, and I've chosen to read from my favorite Gospel, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, 3 through 9. But it's also recorded in my favorite Gospel, Matthew, and also in my favorite Gospel, John. So those are my favorite Gospels. And so Mark, it's recorded in John, Matthew, and Mark, and I've chosen to read the story in Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 14, 3 through 9. While he, being Jesus, was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard. She broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why? Has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you. And whenever you wish, you can do them good. But you do not always have me. She hath done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken in memorial or in memory of her. Let's just commit ourselves to the Lord before we look at this together. Lord, we pray that as we look at this passage together, that you will give us a clarity of thought, both speaker and those that hear, and that we may have an encounter with Jesus as Mary did of old. We pray that as we encounter Jesus, that our lives will be changed as they always are. And we pray that your word may have its desired effect in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, am I on the mic? I guess I am. I don't, is it on? Yep. Can you hear me fine? Okay, as we mentioned, this story is told in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. There is also in Luke, which, by the way, is my favorite Gospel, there's also a passage in Luke that deals with an anointing. And it's not to be confused with this one. These are two separate anointings and two separate incidents happened in two different homes, two different women, one invited and not the other, two jars of perfume. There's two Simons, one Mary, and one Jesus. And in the passage in Luke, the passage is that Jesus was having invited and having dinner in a man's house named Simon. This is a different Simon from the one that we're going to be talking about this morning, in Simon's house. And this was Simon the Pharisee. And he had invited Jesus to dinner. And during the dinner, this woman of ill repute came on the scene, and she came in an uninvited guest and interrupted the dinner with Jesus and in that Pharisee's home. And she came in crying and weeping. And she took out a bottle of perfume and broke it and poured it on Jesus' head as she was weeping, and washed with her tears and the perfume Jesus' body and Jesus' feet. And Simon, of course, not saying anything, but he was immediately indignant. And he said concerning Jesus, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman this was that touched him. What her reputation. She had a reputation in town, and everybody knew who she was. And Simon said if he was a prophet, he would have known that. And Jesus before that had just healed and raised to dead a 12-year-old girl. And he had just healed a woman with an issue of blood, and crowds were following around him. And Simon says, if this was a prophet, he would have known who this woman was that touched him. She had a vial of perfume like the woman that we're going to be talking about in the passage, like Mary. And she had probably, and not sure, but she had probably obtained this expensive vial of perfume from her prostitutional acts and had received it as favors from the gentleman whom she serviced. And she brought this perfume in tears and broke it and poured it on Jesus' feet. And of course, Simon was indignant. And then Jesus told the story about the person who loves little, gives little. And the person who loves most, gives the most. And he said to Simon, I came into your house and you didn't wash my feet and you didn't do all the things that customarily are done for guests that come into the house. But this woman has bathed my feet with tears, and her sins are forgiven. That's the background of the story in Luke, not to be confused with the one that we are going to be talking about in a minute or two. You see, guilt to the soul is like what pain is to the body. And this woman came in filled with guilt. And she pretty much was trapped in a life of guilt. It was the only thing. Prostitution was her way of life, and it was the only thing that she knew to do. And she wept and was guilty about it. So guilt to the soul is like what pain is to the body. It lets you know, in both cases, it lets you know that something's wrong. This woman in her day-to-day activity realized that something was drastically wrong. And not only does pain and guilt tell you that something is wrong, it demands immediate attention, especially pain. We can have all kinds of plans, can't we? We can be going to an important meeting. We've scheduled for months. We're ready to close on the sale. Everybody's waiting for us. And on the way over in the car, we suddenly receive tremendous chest pains, tremendous pain and anguish in the chest. And our plans change, don't they? Instead of going to that meeting and that closing that sale that we had planned on for years, we drive ourselves into the hospital and find out that our valves are plugged and we had almost died. Pain has a way of doing that. It lets us know when something is wrong. And the ability to have pain is a wonderful thing. There's many books written on pain. One of the ones that I've heard of is the title this, Pain, the Gift That Nobody Wants. And there are occasionally people that are born in the world, very few, that have no sense of pain. They don't feel any pain. Like the story of a mother who came in and found that the child that she had put in the crib had bitten off all of her fingers without feeling any pain. What a terrible thing not to feel pain. In fact, sin and leprosy are tied together, and one of the tragic things about leprosy is not that it eats away at your body parts, but the first thing leprosy does is deaden your pain, and it eats away at your nerves so that you no longer feel pain. And people can have leprosy and walk on glass and step on nails and not know that their foot is hurt, and their foot becomes defective and diseased, and gangrene sets in, and they have to be amputated. So pain is a wonderful thing to the body. And guilt is a wonderful thing to the soul. And if you're feeling guilt this morning, thank God, because it lets you know that something in your soul is not right, and it needs to be taken care of. Now, Jesus, when he was here on earth, linked those two things together. He linked the pain of the body with the guilt of the soul into one. And so many times in his miracles, he got criticized. In Mark chapter 2, again, my favorite gospel on the healing of the paralytic man, Jesus says to him, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has made you whole. Your sins are forgiven." And of course, the crowd objected. No one forgives sins but God, and that's exactly right. They were right on that issue. But Jesus connected the sin and the guilt of sin and the pain of the body together, and he says, which is it easier to say? Your sins be forgiven you, a spiritual problem? or to say, rise up and walk. And so often we in life, we're willing to treat the physical problem, but not the spiritual problem of guilt. And when Jesus came, when Jesus died, he died for the whole man. Isaiah says he took our sins. He took our sorrows. He took our sicknesses. And he made them his very own. He took all that, the physical and the mental and the soul issues of life, and dealt with them completely. And in this life, we're so used to dealing with symptoms, aren't we? Oh, we have things that fix that. We have pills, and we have this and that, and thank God for it. Most people in their lives are living on medication at some time or another. Some people have to take medication the rest of their lives to stay well and healthy. I have one medication I take. For my cholesterol. And I had high cholesterol, and I took a cholesterol medication, several different ones. And about 6 months ago, when Nancy was having problems with her joints, I thought, and people said, cholesterol medication is no good, get off of it. And so I thought, well, I'm having little problems with my legs. Maybe it is affecting my joints and legs. So I got off it about June. Well, I had my yearly checkup in December. So I said to my doctor, I'll be interested to see my prognosis. My cholesterol went sky high. Guess what? I'm back on cholesterol medication. And so Jesus came to heal the whole person. And he links the soul, the problem of the soul, the guilt that we have, and the physical problem with our bodies together. And so Jesus could say to those he healed, your sins be forgiven you. And he could say to people who were blind, your sins are forgiven you, and heal their vision. Now, for our back to our program for the day. Reminds me of a television where they say, please stay tuned for these important messages. And then at the end of that, they say, well, now we will go back to our program of the day. So that's what we're going to do, go back to our passage of the day. Now, the interesting thing about Jesus' life is that he involved a lot of women in his ministry. Women had a tremendous and unusual part to play in the ministry of Jesus. And he elevated women in his day to a very high standard, a day in which women were looked down on and degraded and thought as nothing, as slaves. They were really, they couldn't do a lot of things. They couldn't attend meetings, and they couldn't make decisions. Women were looked down on and thought less of. Women were not important of the day in Jesus' time. They couldn't vote. They couldn't drive. And that sounds like a Sharia law, doesn't it, huh? In our day. But they couldn't do all these things that men did. So they had a very low, low place in human society. And tradition says this about the Jews. The Jewish males, tradition held that each morning, Jewish males offered a blessing and thanked God for not making them Gentiles, not making them slaves, and not making them women. And probably women were thought of in that order, after the Gentiles, after the slaves, and then came the woman. Remember the Jesus in Luke chapter 18, my favorite gospel, Luke chapter 18, where there's two people that come to pray. And one of them, a Pharisee, comes and he pats himself on the chest. I thank God that I'm not like other people, not like this poor Gentile slave next to me. And he goes into all the things that he does. And this person, this slave, this lowlife, comes and wouldn't even raise his head. Says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who went home justified, huh? Who went home healed? Who went home with sins forgiven? Jesus asked. And so God chose a woman in this story. And she was a special she. And women also accompanied Jesus on his trips. It says in Luke 8, 2, and 3, women accompanied Jesus, and they ministered to him. And they paid for his expenses out of their own pocket money and need. Maybe some little bit of money their husband threw at them and says, here, that's for you. They picked up that money and they used it to minister to Jesus. They followed him around. They made him meals and they did what they could in the ministry of Jesus. And all through the Bible, the ministry of women holds a special place. You remember, even in the Old Testament, there was Rahab, the harlot. There was Ruth, the Moabitess. Both outside the promise of Israel, and yet these women were used greatly in the lineage and used greatly for God. And so these women followed Jesus around and ministered to him. And while the men were crying for his death and crying away with him, these women were weeping and caring and giving to the ministry of Jesus. Jesus said on his way to the cross, weep, woman, they were weeping. Weep not for me, but weep for yourself. Weeping woman followed Jesus on the pathway to the cross. Such a special and highly regarded place that Jesus had for women. Jesus used a woman, and they'll be talking about that next week, Leo. I don't know what he's going to say, but I'll give you an advance. The woman was the first missionary. She was the first one that went back and said, is not this the Christ? The first missionary was a woman. Also, when Jesus arose from the dead, it was the soprano voices that were heard as the woman went to the disciples and said, he is risen. I think if the song had been written in their day, they would have said, death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose. That was the message they gave to the disciples who refused to believe. It was sung in the soprano voice. They were the first one to declare that he is alive. Now back to our story again about Mary. We'll get back to that again, I guess, eventually. Mary had seen her brother Lazarus ill. And she knew that Jesus loved Lazarus very much. as she knew that Jesus loved her and her sister Martha. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus because he was out of town. Your friend Lazarus is sick, fully confident that he could come and heal him. And we read the story that Jesus waited 2 days and then went. And by the time he got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Mary had witnessed this with her sister Lazarus. Incidentally, these two women were women that were very different. And from what we read of Mary and Martha, Martha was the outgoing one, the busy one, the one who always was doing. And Mary was the very reserved one. Martha was the boss because we read it was her home. And Mary lived it with her sister Martha. It was her ideas. It was her meal. It was her doings. And Martha and Mary was the quiet one. I had two aunts that lived together, and they're long gone, and I reminded them that they reminded me somewhat of Mary and Martha, my Aunt Mima and my Aunt Mamie. And Donna Holmes here, who's a relative of me, of mine, and she can testify because she knew Mima and Mamie very well. And Mima was the one that was always doing. She was the matchmaker, the one that was doing. And Mamie was the quiet one. Well, that was the case in Mary and Martha. And so Mary, being the quiet one, and she witnessed her brother being raised from the dead. And so they put on this party as a result of that. And here Lazarus is, and Jesus, and his disciples, and many people had come to see Lazarus as well as Jesus because they had heard he had been raised from the dead. And what Mary took a very costly vial of perfume. It was worth a year's wages. It was recognized, it came from India. I have some quick notes on here on what it was. Nard was made from an aromatic oil extracted from a root of a nard plant, likely grown in India. A rose, red rose substance known as spikenard. It would have been like the Chanel No. 5 of its day. Its going rate was 300 denarii, which was equivalent to about a year's salary. Such a valuable asset was transported in a decorative flask or box, which was in itself a valuable work of art. Sometimes shaped like a flower or rosebud, the alabaster or marble flask had a long neck and usually sealed in a way that the neck of the bottle had to be broken to access the perfume. Once it had been broken, there was no way to close it again. It had no cork, it had no lid, it had no stopper. Whatever wasn't used in the first application ended up wasted. It was a lavish gift. A gift that she had likely saved and put away for some special occasion. Maybe someday Mary was hoping to be married and had saved it for that future promise, because once she opened and cracked that alabaster box, the joy of future promise was it gone. And so she saw Jesus, and the title for today's sermon is She Did What She Could, SDW SC. She did what she could. And she saw Jesus, and she saw Lazarus, and she saw this opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so shy Mary acted in that moment, a moment that would never, ever be repeated. And the response was immediate. Why this waste? It could be given to the poor. And that's what exactly was required at Passover time. It was a time when you didn't give things to yourself. At Passover, you gave to the poor. You rejoiced and you gave to the poor. It should have been given to the poor. Why this waste? Was the disciples' response. Jesus' response was, let her alone. She has done what she could. She did what she could, when she could. With Jesus, there's never, ever any waste. Never. We can waste all kinds of things. And we can do things for ourselves, and we can buy, and we can lavish, and we can have the best of everything. And you know what? In the end, it's wasted, because Jesus says, if you accumulate the whole world and lose your own soul, you've lost. It's wasted. It's worthless. But when you do it for Jesus, that puts value on it. And not only that, Jesus said, if you want to do it for me, you do it for others. Matthew chapter 25. When did we see you in prison? When did we see you in need and naked and needing help? If you've done it for others, you've done it for me, Jesus said. And when we do things for ourselves and lavish things on ourselves, they're wasted and they're gone. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount. If I pray and make a noise and give big money, all to be seen, all to lavish on myself, I'm done. I've had my reward. I'm finished. But if I do it for Jesus, if I do it in secret, if I do it for others that nobody knows about, Jesus said, I'm a winner. I wonder how many things we waste on ourselves. We waste on our ego. We're full of pride. Do things for attention. Jesus said, we've lost. We've lost. But here's a woman who did what she could. She hath done what she could. She anointed my body beforehand for burial. You know what? There were many women at the grave of Jesus, but I don't believe this Mary was there. You see, she had already anointed his body. The other woman got up early and they prepared spices and they came, you know what? But they were too late. He was already risen from the dead. She did what she could. I wonder this morning, are we doing what we could? Oh, there's a lot of things we can't do. There's a lot of things Mary couldn't do. She couldn't quell the hatred of Jesus. She couldn't stop the enemies from wanting to destroy him and kill him. But she broke this alabaster box and poured it on Jesus. And in doing so, She anointed his body for death. And Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, it'll be preached in memory of her. She did what she could. I wonder this morning, did we do what we could? Some of us here have perhaps heard the gospel message many times. Maybe we've had the twinge of guilt. Are we willing to do what we could? We can bring our sins to Jesus and know forgiveness. Are you willing to do the things that you could? Some of us here have led selfish lives, thinking of ourselves, hard to get along with. Maybe our behavior is accepted in the world, hard driving, thoughtless, using people to our advantage, thinking of ourselves. Have we done what we could? Yield to Jesus. You see, Mary's action was an action out of love for her Lord. She knew that Jesus loved her. She knew that she loved Jesus. And Mary lived a life that was loved. I wonder how you respond to Jesus this morning. How do I respond? How do I respond to all the great things that he has done for me? Are we willing to do what we could and bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time together, and we are very challenged. And we thank you, Lord, that when we come to you, we never are not challenged. When we look at you and when we consider your love for us, what a challenge that brings to each of our hearts. Am I willing to trust in Jesus as my personal Savior? I can do that. Am I willing to accept him? Am I willing to lay down my pride and my goals and my ambitions and bring it to Jesus' feet? Am I willing to do what I could? What a challenge we face this morning, and we thank you for Mary that sees this opportunity, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And Jesus said to her, she hath done what she could. She hath anointed my body for burial. Lord, help us in the days that lie ahead to do the things that we can and yield ourselves to you and live a life of love, because we know that Jesus loves us. This I know. And may we experience the love of Jesus in our lives as we commit ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.